So what kind of economy will Iraq have after the U.S. military leaves?
Marketplace Morning Report is produced in association with the University of Southern California.
From APM, American Public Media in Los Angeles. Good morning, I'm Steve Chiatakis. The Iraqi Prime Minister Nouri al-Maliki is in Washington today. His White House visit comes as American troops prepare to leave the country by the end of the year. So what does the future hold for relations between our two nations and for the economy of Iraq? The BBC's Jim Muir is with us now from Baghdad. He has the latest on that story. Hey, Jim.
Hi there.
What will the U.S. presence, do you think, look like after January 1st? And I'm talking about how much money that the U.S. pours into Iraq.
Well, certainly it's although the last troops are on the way out and will be gone certainly before the end of the year, that doesn't mean an end of the whole story or the U.S. presence here. There's going to be an embassy that will be the biggest in the world with something like 15, 16,000 people. Some of them, a small number, like 150 or so, will be military trainers who will be working closely with the Iraqi military, plus several hundred private contractors doing the same kind of thing. So there will still be Americans around, but they'll certainly be way more visible than they were in the earlier years, up until, say, a couple of years ago, when it was quite common to see American troops in the streets doing patrols, doing checkpoints and things. That's already in the past.
And certainly Iraq needs the United States for economic help, right?
For economic help, less so for economic help, I would say, than for military help or strategic help. Economically, they're producing something like 2.9 million barrels of oil a day. So they've got money. It's not so much just money that they need. It's more, for example, training. They want to buy as many as 36 F-16s, for example. That's not just something that you take delivery of and start flying around in. They need a lot of training. It's going to be some years before they get them fully operational and have anything like the capacity to defend their own airspace or their borders. So it's really that external defense capability that is missing at the moment, as well as perhaps intelligence operations and so on against what both sides call terrorism. So there's a lot of ways in which they will be looking to America for help, less, I would say, just in terms of financial handouts than of expertise and some kind of strategic bolstering.
The BBC's Jim Muir in Baghdad. Jim, thank you so much.
You're most welcome.
Let's do the numbers. Markets are down right now anywhere between 1 and 2%. The NASDAQ off about 1.7%. Same for the S&P 500. The Dow is down 160 points. That's about 1.3% at 12,023, still above that 12,000 mark. FedEx is planning to ship more stuff today than any day in its history. The company is expecting to handle 17 million packages, which is up about 10% over this time last year. Borrowing costs for Italy are a lot lower today, with bond buyers feeling a little more confident about a European plan to avert another debt crisis. Instead of having to pay more than 7% interest on its bonds, today it's more like 5.9%. Someone break out the Chianti.
Marketplace Morning Report is supported by Allianz, providing investment, insurance, and retirement solutions through its affiliated companies in the U.S. since 1896. AllianzUSA.com. And by Constant Contact, offering email marketing tools and resources to help market small businesses during the holiday season. Learn more at ConstantContact.com. Sustainability coverage is supported in part by the Candida Fund, furthering values that contribute to a healthy planet.
American Airlines parent firm AMR is in bankruptcy court today in New York. And going forward, not only will American have to negotiate with creditors, it's also going to have to figure out what to do with its big pension plan. Now, one possibility is that American would turn its employee pensions over to the Pension Benefit Guarantee Corporation. That's the PBGC, which was set up in the 1970s by the federal government as an independent agency to safeguard against employees losing their pensions when companies go bust. Josh Gottbaum is director of the PBGC, and he's with us now. Good morning, sir.
Morning. How you doing, Steve?
I'm doing well. Will American Airlines eventually turn over their pensions, do you think, in their bankruptcy over to you guys?
No one knows for sure yet, but it's pretty clear that they're thinking about it. And that's enough to engage us.
Engage you? Like, are you troubled by that? Do you think you can cover it?
the job of the PBGC is, when companies can't take over their plans, to step in and make sure that people get a pension. However, it is always better for employees to get the plan that their employer originally promised them, for two reasons. One is, we don't cover health benefits. Mm-hmm. And two is, there's a dollar maximum on the pension that we can pay. And as it happens, airline pensions are very often go above our dollar maximum.
I want to talk a little bit about your corporation. It's sort of a corporation that's charged with being a backstop, but you may need a backstop too, because your agency is already in a pretty big hole, right? There's a possibility that you guys might even need a taxpayer bailout.
The way we pay our benefits is, we, like insurance companies, we charge premiums to pension plans. And unfortunately, the history has been that those premiums have been determined by the Congress and they have been too low. So what has happened every couple of years is, we have gone to the Congress and said, look, the premiums are too low, the PBGC deficit is getting larger, you got to raise the premiums. And more than a dozen times in the 37 years we've been in existence, Congress has said, yes, we're going to raise them. And we think that's going to continue to happen.
What is it going to do to the agency if you have to take on American Airlines pensions? I mean, an agency that's already, like, having to tighten its belt.
If we take over Americans' pensions, we're going to pay those benefits. We will, as we've already done, go back to the Congress and say, Congress, do the right thing and let PBGC set realistic premiums.
Josh Gottbaum, director of the Pension Benefit Guarantee Corporation. Mr. Gottbaum, thank you.
Glad to help.
And finally this morning, a Florida man left a lot of money and his home to Uncle Sam after he passed away, all in an effort to reduce the nation's debt. James Davidson's home was just sold at auction over the weekend, bringing in almost $1.2 million. He also gave $1 million cash to the cause. Well, the U.S. debt stands at $15 trillion. Thanks to Mr. Davidson, that's now $14,999,800,000 and a few cents. Oh, wait, we just passed $15 trillion. Yet again. I'm Steve Chiotakis in Los Angeles. This is the Marketplace Morning Report. And this is APM, American Public Media.
Not so long ago, Egypt was all about government by nepotism.
We've been capitalizing on connections that the average farmer cannot have in terms of marketing, economy of scale, access to water.
I'm Kai Rizdal. Post-revolution Egyptians turn their attention to feeding themselves. Our series, Food for 9 Billion, resumes next time on Marketplace from APM, American Public Media.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky, too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.